forgave my sins and straightened out my life. Believe me. Well, we're looking back in the book of Mark, if you will, with us tonight. We're going to look, and we've just been kind of hitting and missing there over the past pretty good little while, I guess. But the Gospel of Mark, I want you to look in chapter number 1 with me. And you know we have studied this in time past, the whole book of Mark, and a lot of good stuff in the Gospel of Mark. And you know, there's a lot of folks that will say, well, we don't know where Mark is as far as being one of the apostles, or you know, one of the main disciples that we see around Jesus, and you're probably right there. We don't understand a whole lot about you know, who Luke was. I mean, other than he was a physician that assisted Paul in a lot of things that he did. It's a good thing about it. God can use whoever he wants to, and he can use them however he wants to and whenever he wants to. So God has taken a young man, we understand, and we know just by a little bit of our Bible history that Mark was a nephew to Barnabas, who was on a mission trip with Paul. And if you remember the story, how that there was a little bit of falling out between Mark, and I mean between Paul and Barnabas because of Mark, and Paul did not want him traveling with them to go on another missionary journey. And the Bible said that conflict grew so intense that Paul said, I'll take somebody else with me and I'll go preach the gospel. And as far as we know, Barnabas and Mark went on another journey in another direction. Now, there's no writings about them, so we don't know exactly what they did. But I believe that, you know, before it was over with, if you'll read some toward the end of Paul's life when he is talking to Timothy about coming to him where he is in his Roman imprisonment, he tells him in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy to bring John Mark with him. He said, for he is profitable unto me in the ministry. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm saying this. Sometimes things happen in our lives, problems and even conflict like there was there. But aren't you glad God can still use us in spite of ourselves a lot of times? And though there may be some times of contention and conflict, God can still use anybody that he wants to. That's what I'm saying. All right, well, look here, if you will, in the book of Mark. And if you've studied with us and remember time past when we talked about the book of Mark, you'll remember this, that Mark is, the gospel that Mark writes, is a real action-packed book. And what I mean by that is the action is almost immediate. It is regular. It is a fast-paced writing. Now, Matthew, if you look at it and you remember Matthew writes, and it looks like Matthew is writing to the Jewish mindset, and he is methodical in his presentation of Jesus as the king. If you go back and look at that, Jesus is presented as the king. And Luke, he's presented as the Son of Man. In John's gospel, John presents Jesus as the Son of God, just like he is. And then when you look in Mark, Mark presents us Jesus as the servant. And you see how Jesus shows himself as the servant of God. Now, he is all of those other things. He's the king. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He's all of that. Plus, he is the servant of God, as you read through the book of Mark. But everybody has a presentation of Jesus in a little different way. So Mark's is kind of fast-paced, and you see that he uses some words that give us that idea. He talks about things happening straightway or immediately or forthwith. He mentions those things, and you can see the pace of it is pretty fast. As a matter of fact, when you look in chapter number 1 that we're going to look at, you look at chapter 1 of Luke, and you're looking at the before even the birth of Jesus. And Matthew chapter number 1, you're looking at all those begats and the heritage of Jesus. I mean, all the action doesn't really start till a little bit later on. Mark just jumps right into it. He gives you the action, and you know, nothing wrong with that. It's just a different perspective and a different view on the life of Jesus. But in chapter number 1, there is a whole lot of stuff going on, right? In chapter number 1, you see how that Jesus
is introduced to us, and he talks about in the beginning of this. Mark talks about the preaching of John the Baptist, and then you know Jesus gets baptized, and then Jesus goes out into the wilderness and tempted of the devil, and then he goes in and calls his first disciples, Peter and Andrew, and then you see Jesus goes into Capernaum, and there he preaches and casts out devils, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law of her sickness, and then again you see him back, and he has people bring people to him, and he heals them of all the diseases that they have. So look, if you will, in verse number 40, though. Verse number 40 of chapter number 1 is where I want us to go and clear it, go to verse 45, the end of it. It says, "And there came a leper to him," this is to Jesus, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for all of the blessings of the day and all the goodness that you've given us. Just give us direction now. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding of the Scriptures, and we'll just thank you and praise you tonight. Just be a blessing. Everything that's said, everything that's done tonight, we'll praise you. Thank you. Draw sinners to you. Help lift up the saints. Encourage those that are discouraged. I pray that you might just help us to see you and make us more like you through every word and everything that we hear. And we'll praise you for Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this tonight with me. And if you would, I want you to think about this idea of what a testimony. What a testimony. If you'll notice, the Bible tells you here in verse number 45, it says, "But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter." I mean, man, can you hear this fellow's testimony in what happened to him? Can I tell you this? You and I ought to endeavor to have that kind of testimony in our lives if something happened to you. And you say, "Well, preacher, there's no miracle that happened." Oh, yes, there was a miracle that happened in your life. Jesus saved you from a place called hell. Amen? I mean, he saved you, and as we just sang that song, he wrote your name up in heaven. Hey, I'm telling you, there are some miraculous things that's happened to everybody in this house that has named the name of Christ. And, hey, it gives me and you a right to have a good testimony before this world. We ought to have a good testimony. I want you to notice, as we look at these things, though, that, you know, the Bible tells, here Jesus says in verse 44, he says to this man, "See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for those for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." I want you to notice that Jesus was more interested in folks hearing the message and understanding the Word of God, the things about the Word of God, than he was than having a circus, I guess, if you will, a circus-type atmosphere. He said, "Don't follow the miracles, but follow the message that I'm leaving behind." But you know what? Sometimes when things happen in people's life, it sure is hard not to tell some of those great, wonderful, and miraculous things that happened to you along the way. I mean, you ever see somebody that got so excited about what God did for them, they just couldn't shut up. I mean, every time you see them, they had to tell that story. As a matter of fact, you see, in the life of Paul the Apostle, in the book of Acts, every time that we see him go stand before somebody we consider maybe an important government official or whatever, Paul will stand up and say, let me tell you what happened to me. Can I tell you how Jesus came and saved me? And as a matter of fact, you know that Felix told him, he said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, he said, Paul, you're crazy from all this religion stuff. But oh, Paul said, oh, I beg your pardon. He said, I'm not crazy like you think. He said, I'm just saved and on my way to heaven. Amen. And I'm just telling you, sometimes you get excited and exuberant about the testimony that you have for the Lord. And guess what? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? So let's look at this guy if we can just for a few minutes, and let's talk about him, all right? In chapter number 1 here in verse number 40, the Bible tells us, first of all, and there came a leper to him. Now, leprosy is a serious disease in the Bible, in Bible days. And, you know, really it is today. We just don't see very much of it in our area. But there are places in the world. I don't know if y'all remember here a few years ago, we had one of our missionaries, Brother Tillman, was a missionary to those that had leprosy over in the Southeast Asia area. And he went over there and he ministered to those folks and he helped them. And most of the time when somebody's got leprosy, I mean, it brings some alarm bells to everybody else that's around them. Because let me just tell you, first of all, let's talk about this. It is a disease. This man has a disease that is a disease connected to corruption. A disease that's connected to corruption. When you look at leprosy, leprosy is a disease, and according to biblical standards and biblical ideas and biblical teaching, people, there was a lot of things they couldn't do. As a matter of fact, a lot of commentators comment on this when you're looking at these scriptures that it is amazing that this man was able to come and approach unto Jesus. You know what a leper had to do when somebody even got near them? They had to proclaim and say, unclean, unclean. In other words, look out, you're getting dangerously close to somebody that's got something that is a corruption on my body. Amen. I mean, you know how we are nowadays, and especially after we haven't been through the COVID epidemic, how that, oh man, they got COVID, you better stay away from them, and you got to stay away so long, and you better mask up, and you better do, well, I don't know, all that's been proven true, but anyway, we had that idea, didn't we? We had that admonition that we were supposed to be on our guard and be cautious and stay back, you know, so many feet and all that kind of stuff, how that we were afraid of the corruption that it could cause. We saw some that were sadly passed away from it, and others that were significantly hurt and sick from it. And I'm just telling you, it was a dangerous thing. Hey, in that day when Jesus was around and the days before that, that was the same way that the disease of leprosy was. You didn't want to be around anybody. It was a disease that was corrupted. I mean, it could be communicated pretty easy. It was contagious. You didn't want to get around somebody that had that disease. Let me tell you about it. Hey, the disease in the Bible that is comparable, that's called sin. Amen. And you know what? You get around somebody that's got sin. Guess what? It's rubbed off on every one of us. Amen. You know, leprosy in the Bible was one of those things that was generally, you understood that it went deeper than skin deep. That might have showed up on the surface, but the problem was down on the inside. Now, the scientists tell us there's a bacteria called Mycobacterium leprosy that causes it, and that don't mean anything, just you know, that's scientific stuff. But it's down deep on the inside of that tissue. But it shows up on the outside as something. Can I tell you, sin does the same thing. Sin shows up on the outside, but all that's telling you is that there's something on the inside that's there causing that problem. You know, a lot of folks say, oh, well, look at that crowd that's drinking. And it ain't the drinking that's the problem. It's what's on the inside of you that's the problem. It ain't the cussing. It ain't the lying. It ain't the running around. It ain't the gambling. It ain't the thieving. It ain't that. Hey, there's something on the inside of you that needs to get fixed. Amen. And that's the way sin is. So this is a disease, as I say, that it's corruption. It is a corrupting disease. And it is deeper than skin deep. And you know what else it does, brother? It will do this to you. It is a serious disease because it can bring death. Oh, can I tell you, if you ever saw anybody connected with leprosy, I remember Brother Tillman talking about, you go over there and you'd see people missing fingers and toes and sometimes legs and arms and all that, because that's the way this disease hits you. And when you've got it, you don't even realize the damage that it's doing to your body. Can I tell you, sin's the same way. It's slowly tearing you down and you can't see it sometimes, but it's there and it's evident and it's eating away at that soul that's on the inside of you. Amen? That's sin. So, you know, it is serious, even unto the point of death. And it is something, whenever they had somebody that had leprosy, as I said, they were supposed to cry out and say, you're near somebody that's diseased. And it was a disease that brought separation. Could you imagine, if you think about this man, we don't know his name, we don't know too much about him, but I can tell you this man had to stay separated from his family because of his disease. Can I tell you, sadly, there'll be people today that will be separated from their families for eternity because of the disease of sin that they've got. They'll be cut off. They'll be cast out. They'll be thrown into the pit. And brother, hey, it's not because their family doesn't love them and doesn't want to be with them, but their families could do nothing for them other than point them to the doctor that could provide complete healing. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus getting rid of your sins. I'm telling you, this disease of leprosy, it brought a stench. Do you know that? They had to take those persons' clothes and as I say, sometimes the body parts that would fall off. And I know that doesn't sound real good, but that's what happened. And they'd have to get rid of them because there was a stench. There was a foul odor. You remember what Martha said about her brother Lazarus? Oh, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. And surely by now he stinketh. Why? Why did he stink? Because of the curse on our flesh. Hey, brother, death has brought us to that place. And there's a stink that comes from us, from our sins. Amen? And that's the part of the corruption that happens. And I'll tell you this, man. When somebody has that disease, everything that they have and everything that they possess, everything they touch, it all has to be sent to the fire as an ultimate way to get rid of whatever it could do to somebody else. Amen? Can I tell you, God's got a place prepared and we don't want to go there. I'm not going there. Amen? Aren't you glad you're not going there? Praise God. Hey, but there's a fire that is going to burn forever and ever. And those that have the disease of sin, they're going to have to spend a separated eternity from those that are saved by the glorious grace of God. Amen? So I'm just telling you, first of all, this is a disease of corruption. And I want you to see the desire of change that this man has. You see this? It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Do you see? This fella had a desire. He said, I don't want to be like I am. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a sweet and glorious day when an old sinner realizes where they are and how low in sin they are, and they say, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't like what I am. I do not like what my life is, because I know that I need something different. And this old sinner man, if you will, came before Jesus and he said, I don't like this leprosy. I don't like this infection. I don't like this corruption. I don't like what's going on. I want something to change. Amen. Ooh, I wish we could hear sinners say that today. Don't you? Where an old sinner say, preacher, I know my life's a wreck. I know I'm ruined. I know I'm bound for hell. I know something has got to change. And I know the only change will come through Jesus. Amen. Can you see that? Here's this man. And the Bible says that he came to Jesus. He came to him. And he is beseeching him. That word beseeching is begging, pleading, asking with intensity, saying, and kneeling down. I mean, he's in a worshipful state. And he says to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Boy, isn't that amazing? He has a desire for a change. Oh, my. Let me just tell you, we've said it a lot. Me and Lynn talk about this a lot of times. Hey, do you know people are not going to get saved until they get good and lost first? You've got to realize, whoever you are, every one of us that are saved, there had to come a day in our life that we realized we was lost. We realized we were no good. We realize what the Bible said when it said there's none good, no, not one. There's none of us that we are coming up short of the glory of God because of sin in our life. Hey, you've got to come to a place where you say, hey, something's got to change. Amen. You remember that boy that was the prodigal son, we call him over in Luke 15, how that as he's out in the hog pen, and he's wanting to fill his belly, even those old husks that he's feeding those pigs. And he's in the mire and the muck and the stink of those hogs. Guess what, friend? He finally said, the Bible said he came to himself. He had a revelation of, hey, I don't want to be where I'm at. I want something to change. Amen. Can I tell you, until you get to that place, boy, you may just lay there. You may lay there in the mire and the muck and the stink and the hog pen and wherever he was. Man, he decided, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. I want things to change. Brother, this old leper come and he came to Jesus and he said, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. I do not enjoy what's going on here. I want something to change. Amen. He had a desire for a change. And I'm telling you, we ought to see that. He said, if thou wilt. Oh, he said, there's nothing I can do about it by my own self. You realize if you're a sinner, now listen, hey, every one of you, if you're saved, you're like me, you're going to figure out some other way for this. I remember the Lord started dealing with my heart, and I was going to get better. I was going to quit some of my doings that I was doing. Oh, I'll stop doing this, and I'll go quit being like that, and I'll quit thinking about it. But you know how long that lasted? Well, maybe a few days. But you know, you're right back where you started from. You know why? Because it's the nature that's on the inside of you. Oh, well, you know, this guy could have said, I'm going to quit having leprosy. You know what I'll do? I'll wear longer shirts and nobody will see it. It won't show up so bad. I'll comb my hair different. I'll wash my body. I'll change my garments. I'll do everything I can. You know what? You still got it. It's still there. You're just trying to change it on the outside and you can't make a bit of difference. Something's got to change on the inside. And this old fellow said, Lord, I know that if you will, you can make me clean. Well, listen to this. That's the desire for a change. But thirdly, I want you to notice this. The deed of compassion. Listen to what your Bible says. And Jesus, verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Amen. I want you to see that, man. I mean, this old fellow had the desire for a change, but Jesus now does the deed, and the deed that he does is by his compassion. It says, and Jesus, comma, moved with compassion. I mean, there's something on the inside of Jesus that when he sees this old boy in his corrupt state, that he said, you know, he's got a desire. He wants something different. And he was moved with a compassion, with a looking at somebody and saying, I see they can't do it for themselves. I see they want to change, but I see they don't have the right medicine. They don't have the right training. They don't have the right understanding of their own disease. Can I tell you, that's me and you in sin. Amen. You know what we do? well, I'm going to go over here to the AA meetings, and that'll take care of it. It won't take care of your sin. They might talk to you, and they might change your mind about some things, but it ain't changed your sin, friend. It ain't cleared you. Oh, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to take these courses at the college, and I'm going to learn how to, you know, do my own doings and work my own work, not depend on someone and lie and cheat and steal to get ahead in my life. I'm going to try to learn something. That still won't change your sinful heart and your sinful ways. Amen? Hey, Jesus was moved with compassion. And listen, I want you to notice what you see, what your Bible tells you here in his compassion. It says that Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him. Can I tell you that right there is a big no-no in the Jewish way of thinking about lepers. You weren't supposed to touch them, because if you touch them, you got what they got. Now, I mean, be honest with you. We was talking here the other day with somebody about when I worked in the drugstore, and one of the ladies there, I mean, somebody come in, you know how it is. I mean, we're going to see people that are sick, right? I mean, you work in a doctor's office or a pharmacy or somewhere, people going to come in, and they're sick. They come in at flu season, how y'all doing? And they'd puke on the counters and cough in your face and spit and sputter and, you know, look at you, and you're over here dodging or whatever. And one of the ladies there, man, she'd get out the Lysol. I mean, son, she's spraying counters. She'd get their money. She said, they touched that. She'd cover that money in Lysol. She'd go to the front door and said, they touched the handle on the way up. She'd spray her all down. I mean, she's trying to kill every germ she could. Why'd she do that? Because that stuff is contagious. They got the flu. Don't you love somebody come in and look at you and, how you doing? I got the flu. And they just cough right in your face. Hallelujah. Thank you. Right there. But that's the way it goes, right? I mean, and that's the way this guy was. It was a no-no to touch him. It was you didn't do that. As a matter of fact, that was one of the orders to the priests of the day. Don't touch those lepers. You're a holy man. You're a workman unto God. I mean, can I tell you, thank God Jesus rubbed elbows with sinners. Jesus sat at the table with sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus touched and healed sinners. And thank God it never rubbed off on him one time. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a Jesus like that? The Bible said he was moved with compassion and he touched him. I want you to know about this touch. It was a touch that was, as I say, a touch from compassion. It was a touch that made a difference. It was a touch that was from a heart of love and desire to do something in this man's life. He wanted a change, and Jesus was able to do that. But it was a touch that was a touch of transformation that came by this compassion. Jesus said unto him, I will. You know what that fellow said before? He said, if thou wilt, if it is your will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Wow. Isn't that amazing? How that Christ could command even the diseases of a man's body. And he brought this man out of this place. And he did it by the touch and the transformation brought about because of Jesus' compassion. Can I tell you, Jesus still saves old sinners. And he does it out of a compassion. What do you mean, preacher? My Bible tells me that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, that his mercy endureth forever, and that it's by the riches of his mercy that Jesus saved a bunch of old rotten sinners like us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? For you're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This fella hadn't done anything. I'll tell you this. I think he'd probably tried to do everything he could. You remember the woman when Jairus' daughter's dying, and the woman with the issue of blood comes and wants Jesus. The man, Jairus, wants Jesus to come to his house. And this woman interrupts the trip. And the Bible tells us about her. She had spent all of her living on trying to get better. And what does the Bible say? She grew none the better, but she only grew worse. Can I tell you, you can play with your sin. You can pet your sin. You can change the name of your sin. Amen? I mean, we don't have people with sin today. We've got people that, well, they're just, you know, in a disadvantaged position. Really? Oh, well, they just need, you know, this and this and that. No, they need to get saved. Amen? I mean, for a lot of people, it's as simple as that. Right? And Jesus has compassion on old sinners like me and you. He saved us from our sin. He'll do the same for those that you and I know. But he's moved by his heart of compassion. It's a compassion. It is the deed of compassion. And as I say, here's Jesus now that has done this miraculous thing. And it says this fellow, as soon as Jesus spoke and touched him, immediately his leprosy has departed from him and he was cleansed. This old boy stood there before Jesus and anybody else that was there, and all of those spots, all of that oozing, all of those sores, all of that ugliness, all went away. And he was made brand new. He looked like a newborn child. That skin became perfect. And don't you know that's an amazement to those that were maybe around, but look what it says. Verse 43, and he straightly charged him, Jesus straightly charged this man and sent him away, forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, now listen to what Jesus said, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I want you to look at this and notice, if you will, first of all, the declaration of the command from Jesus. The declaration of this command from Jesus. Jesus gives this man a command. Listen to what he said. He said, see that thou say nothing to any man. As I told you earlier, Jesus wasn't in this for the circus. He didn't want all of this, you know, big rigmarole and all the things going on. He didn't want all of that happening. And, you know, people, oh, let's go out and see this and go out and do it. He didn't want that. He wanted people to hear him for the word of God, for the message that he had, but not for all of this miraculous. He did those things to show those people that he was from God. But that wasn't the primary reason for Jesus coming. The primary reason was so that people could be saved from their sins, right? So here he is. He said, look, see that thou say nothing to any man. And Jesus tells him, here's the command. And this is where we'll kind of get into the point of the testimony. He said, I want you to go and do this. And look what he says in the bottom part of that verse. He says in midway through verse 44, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. Look what he said, for a testimony unto them. I think that this man, Jesus has told him, go show yourself to the priest. I believe this, honestly believe that those priests in those days had been instructed out of the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament words that said, here's how you deal with somebody with leprosy. And there was a ceremony that they had to go through, right? There was a ceremony. They had to go to a priest, the man that had the change happen in his body. He went to a priest, and he had to make an offering. And they took two birds. They took two turtle doves. And they took those birds. And the Bible said they put one of them into a container, and they put that container, they set it down in running water. And the other bird was sacrificed. And that priest would take the blood from the sacrifice bird and he would sprinkle it on the bird that was in the container. And then he was to take that container out of that living water, that running water, and he was to take it out into a field and to let that bird go and let it fly into the air with that blood dripping from its wings. The Bible says he's supposed to take the blood and put it on the wings of that bird. And he lets that bird go into the air. And when he did, that blood would drip and fall to the ground. as a testimony of what God had commanded and what God had done in that man's life. Aren't you glad? Woo, it still takes the blood tonight. That is still a blood sacrifice from somebody that came down and was made himself in the fashion of a man. And it took his blood and it got sprinkled onto me and you. Thank God when he set us free, hey, that blood was an evidence to everybody around that something had changed in our lives. Amen. Something had changed. And I sincerely think that this man, as he might have went to, I don't know, it doesn't say that he went to the priest or not. I believe he probably did to start with, but then things went on from there. But I want you to notice, as he went to this priest, he's commanded of the Lord to go for a testimony. Listen to what Jesus said to him. He said, but go thy way. In verse 44 again, see thou say nothing to any man. First of all, he told him to go. He said, go thy way. Boy, when the Lord's done something for you, you know what you need to? You need to go your way. I mean, you need to go. Hey, you get ready, because it's going to be a testimony. You go your way. Don't hide in the corner. Don't shut it up at the house. Get out there and go your way. He said, but not only to go your way, but he said, show thyself to the priest. You're supposed to go, but you're supposed to show. You're supposed to show that you know what? Boy, I believe that religious crowd, they had so much religion, they didn't know what to do with this. How'd you get healed? There's a man named Jesus, and he cleaned me up. He touched me, he healed. Can I tell you, the religious world don't get it today. The religious world says, well, you've got to get with our religion, and you'll be okay to go to heaven, William. You've got to get with our religion. Hey, the religion can just be gone. Thank God we need Jesus, amen. Need Jesus and his blood, his cleansing, his power, his forgiveness, and his way. He said, you go your way. You show the priest, he said, and offer the cleansing for those things. He said, you go, you show, and he said, you offer that offering, those things which Moses commanded for a testimony. You go, you show, and then he says, you are to let them know what's happened to you. Now, Jesus said, look, I don't want you to stop and talk to other men. I want you to go to the religious crowd and show them first. Amen? There's a lot of folks in the religious world today. You know what they need? They need Jesus. They need to see what he can do. Because they've got secular thoughts. They've got on social gospel programs. They've got the name it and claim it and steal it and heal it and all that mess. Hey, they've got every bit of that. But they don't have Jesus. Amen. And Jesus said, you go show them. You go to them, you show to them, and then that way they'll know that it's the right thing that they're going to find. What a testimony that Jesus said you're to give to even those that are of the priesthood. He said, you go to the priest, amen? Show thyself to the priest. I mean, I want you to go down there and show them that there still is a God in heaven. Do you know there's some religious folks today? They need to know that God's still in heaven. He ain't dead. He ain't give up. It ain't just a show and a play and a put on. Thank God he's real, amen. And that's what we need today for folks to be saved. You know what? I can't save nobody. I'll go further than that. The Baptist can't save nobody. Amen? I'm telling you, this church building in all of its niceness and good things, it can't save nobody. But thank God I can show you somebody who can. Amen? Amen. Sister Barbara sings that song sometime about I can't. Take a heart that's broken and make it over again. But I know a man who can. Amen. Ooh, let me just tell you. I know somebody that can do far more than any of. So here's this fellow, the declaration of this command. He said, first of all, I want you to make it a testimony to the priest. But second of all, I'll just call this old boy just had the can't help it, didn't he? I mean, don't you notice the can't help it? When he got the can't help it, what a testimony he gave to the people. Look there in verse number 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen? I want you to notice this. This fellow just, he just couldn't help himself. He could not. He just got the can't help it. Amen? You ever got the can't help it? Boy, I tell you, us preachers get it sometimes. I've showed you a few times. Old Paul gets the can't help it sometimes, don't he? He's like he's writing along, and the Holy Ghost is talking, and the Holy Ghost gets to giving him a little quiver and jerk. He said, well, y'all, wait a minute. Something about to break out here. I'm about to have the can't help it. Amen. Boy, I like it when people get in the church house and they get the can't help. I can't help but tell you what he's done. I can't help to tell you that I love him. I can't help to tell you that God's been good to this old boy. Amen. You ought to get the can't help it every once in a while. You just can't help yourself because God is so good. Sometimes we get up, we testify about what the devil's doing and he's after us and all that, and I understand it. But man, tell him how good God is. Tell him what God's done for. Tell him he wrote your name down above. Hey, it's God's good to us. Amen. You get you some can't help it on that. Amen. And this old boy got the can't help it. I mean, he did. Jesus said, now don't you go tell nobody. But he went out. You know what that is? When it says but, that means he'd done right the opposite of what he was told to do. He went out and he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch Jesus couldn't even go out in the public anymore. Everybody started coming and saying, we heard about what you've done for that guy. Well, you the man. And oh, hallelujah, we won't come see you. Amen. And I believe they began to bring whoever they had in their family, whoever they knew, whoever they could, to come and let Jesus touch their bodies and heal their lives. As a matter of fact, when you begin chapter number 2, and listen, you've read chapter number 1, it said he couldn't come into the city places anymore, openly into the city, but it was without in the desert place, and they began to come to him from every quarter. And then it said, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and his noise that is in the house. Hey, that word just kept on spreading. Jesus, hey, that guy called Jesus, he's over there at Bill's house. Let's go over there. They went over there and said, straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And then they came. Who are they? I don't know who they are, but they came, and they brought somebody that needed something that Jesus could do. They couldn't get in there. They said, we'll go up on the house and tear the roof off. We'll get him in there because he needs Jesus in the worst kind of way. And they tore the roof off the house. They lowered him down. Jesus looked at him and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And, of course, the religious, hypocritical, highfalutin crowd stood around and said, he can't do that. Right? It can't nobody forgive sin but God alone. And Jesus looked at him and said, y'all got a question? He said, I got an answer. He looked at the old boy and he said, do you think it's more difficult for me to say your sins are forgiven or get up out of that bed and walk? He said, just so you'll know, get up out of that bed and walk. That old fella got up. He gathered his bed. His legs were strong. He no longer had the palsy. He no longer had the shakes and the quakes and the weakness in his body. Thank God he got up and he ran back to the house. Amen. And Jesus said, what y'all think about that? Huh? I'm just telling you, there's a testimony that this dear man, this one healed from the leprosy, had to give. I want you to look at his testimony just real quickly. He had a great testimony because of, first of all, he had an expectation when he came to Jesus. He was expecting something. Do you see that? It says in verse 40, there came a leper to him. This man was expecting something. When he heard about Jesus and he knew Jesus was near, he went to where he was and he came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you will, you can. He had an expectation. How many times you come in church and say, well, ain't no use in going today. God can't do nothing down there. Well, hallelujah. Thank you very much for your expectant attitude. Come in this house and be expectant that God is going to do something in the service. Now, you know what? Sometimes I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm expecting him to do something. It may be to see somebody get saved. It may be to see somebody drawn closer. It may be somebody just bring a burden and God help them carry that and lift that and give them a blessing and do. I don't know. But I want to come expecting that he will do something. And because of that, this old boy had a great testimony because he came, when he came to Jesus, he came expecting something. He came with an expectation. I mean, he came in with a mess of a life. He came in a problem. But thank God when he left with a shout, didn't he? Not only did he have an expectation, second of all, I want you to notice, beyond that expectation, he had an experience. You see that? Jesus said to him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he spoke it, immediately the leprosy departed and he was cleansed. Hey, he came expecting something, but I want to tell you something, he experienced something. He experienced exactly what he was expecting. I know that this man Jesus can do what they said he could do. I'm expecting that, and he does it. You ever come in the church house expecting the Lord to do something? Now, I'll tell you, that can go either way, right? Ain't nothing going to happen today. Well, you just come in like that, and they won't nothing happen. See, I told you. That's the way we go home sometimes, isn't it? But if you'll come in with an expectation in your heart, I believe we're going to go in today, and I believe there's going to be joy. And I believe there's going to be just a service that you came. I believe God's just going to come down and dwell among his people and bless us. And we're just going to have a good time in the house of God. Hey, that's the way you come to church. Amen? With some expectation, then I believe you'll leave and say you've had the experience. But then last of all, he had a great testimony because of his expectation, because of his experience, but also because of his exposition of the matter. He went out and he began to publish it. Look what it says, much. He didn't just tell one or two. He published it much. Everywhere he went, somebody looked at him and said, "Hey, we thought you were sick. What's wrong with you? What happened?" Woo, let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus cleaned me up. I'm a different man. Oh, you can shake hands with me. We can walk arm in arm. You can do, about a week ago, I couldn't do none of that. But now, since Jesus has touched me, my life has changed. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, he's out here with his exposition of the event that has happened in it, and he did it. The Bible said he published that matter. He published it much to blaze the banner abroad. Amen? I mean, he told it everywhere, and it was something that he wanted everybody to know. In so much, he told it so much that it says Jesus couldn't even go out into the public without everybody running all over him, coming up to him. This man told the story. He had a great, great testimony. How about your testimony? Now, again, You can have any kind of testimony you want. You know how we are? Oh, God was so good to me. Yeah, hallelujah. I like that one. Get a little excited about it. Have a little exuberance about you. Have a joy and an excitement about you when you get ready to tell what Jesus has done for you. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, he's done something for you. He's done something. I mean, it might not be what he's done for somebody else, but he has definitely done a work in your life, and you can praise him for that. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song, if you would, tonight. And we're going to...